Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, NFL football fans, fantasy football owners. Welcome to the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show, exclusive Week 14 Fantasy Football Playoff Edition. You know the Extra Points is the fantasy football show that gives you expert fantasy advice for champions, and it is that time of year for the majority of owners. The playoffs are starting this week. For the other owners, and it's probably more of a 50-50 split, but for most leagues, the playoffs are starting this week. There are some leagues that are getting things underway next week. There are some owners who are on bye who will begin festivities as well. But it is that time, and when I say we're giving expert advice for champions, that means you, that means myself. We've got Greg LaFortune joining us later on in the show to go through our weekly top 10 starts and sits. And our special guest today is James Morris from NFL.com's Fantasy Football. So we've got a great show lined up for you today. We're definitely going to make sure that your lineups are set and ready as your quest for a championship begins. Real quick, before we hop into our first segment, the website that you want to go to is NFLExporter.com. Make sure that you go to the Fantasy Football page. We'll be covering some of the content on the page from today's show. And that website is flipped every single Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right before we come on the air. And so that is the official home and hub for NFL Exporter. Check the website out. It's red hot with great information and content to carry you right up until kickoff. Things are actually going to get started tonight. We've got the Minnesota Vikings traveling to play the Arizona Cardinals. A lot of fantasy players in this one, Adrian Peterson, and then I think all the rest of the players, without question, are for the Arizona Cardinals, unless maybe somebody is going with the with Blair Walsh, the kicker for Minnesota. But from a matchup standpoint, based on trends and patterns, you really don't have much confidence in Teddy Bridgewater and the lack of weapons that he has at his disposal. Also, the Vikings, very poor in pass protection this year. So it's all about Adrian Peterson. And we'll get into his matchup here in a moment, but we're expecting it to be rough goings for Mr. All Day himself. Make sure that you get with us on Facebook.com/NFL Exporter. We've got close to 2,300 fantasy owners on that page. That page opened up back in July for fantasy football training camp, and we've been growing at a profuse rate ever since. And so especially right now, if you are needing advice, that is the page that you can go to talk directly to me, and I can help you get your lineups in order for your weekly matchups. And then also, if you're on Twitter, make sure to follow me at NFL Exporter. The spelling for the website, NFLExporter.com, the Facebook page and Twitter is NFLExporter. This is a live broadcast from Dave and Buster's in Los Angeles, California. We are getting ready for the fantasy football playoffs starting tonight. The address is 6081 Center Drive, Los Angeles, California, 90045. And then we're also going to be here starting each and every Sunday this week. We usually do the extra points on Thursday to get your week started. We come back on Monday to wrap up your week and watch the Thursday and Monday night football games. But now that the fantasy playoffs are starting, we're going to be at Dave and Buster's on Sundays. And so if you're a fantasy owner in L.A. and surrounding areas, Dave and Buster's Westchestcation that you must be at without a shadow of a doubt. Again, this is a live show, so if you want to call in and speak to myself, the NFL Exporter, you want to talk to James Morris from NFL.com, fantasy football page, you want to talk to Greg LaFortune, the call-in number is 626-213-5762. James Morris is going to be joining us here at 7:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Greg LaFortune, I'll be chiming in at 7:45 p.m., and I'll be kind of covering the I'll be covering the top. Further ado, let's go ahead and get things started. Let's quickly run through Week 14's matchups. You got tonight, Minnesota and Arizona, and look, for Adrian Peterson, he's probably one of maybe about a handful of players that you cannot afford to sit. You know, come guys that come to mind, you know, Antonio Brown, Adrian Peterson, you know, Ben Roethlisberger. You know, there's really not a lot of guys who have just been flat-out matchup-proof this year. But with Adrian Peterson, you know he's a player who can get held in check all day. And the next thing you know, he's off and running for a 60 or 70-yard touchdown. He also gets all the goal line work for the Vikings. And so, you know, that's what makes him so tough to sit, aside from being the best pure running back in the NFL. He's a special player. And, I mean, I can't advise you to sit him, but I can tell you that flex position is probably where you want to have him stapled in this week. And you're going to keep your fingers crossed. The one thing that we do know, he should get more than 8 carries this week. I mean, game flow certainly dictated that. I mean, before you knew it, last week Seattle was up on Minnesota 17-0. And Peterson is not as prolific as some of the running backs in the NFL as far as catching out of the backfield is concerned. So he kind of got phased out due to game flow. Well, we heard him complain this week. And so you know he's going to get more than 8 carries. But, you know, it's all about matchups. And when you look at last week what Seattle was able to do, this Arizona Cardinals defense is built the same way. If you look at Patrick Peterson, you know, an all-pro caliber defensive back like Richard Sherman was last week for Seattle, he'll be able to completely take away Stephon Diggs. I forget the other defensive back on the other side for Arizona, but he'll be able to match up with Mike Wallace. We know he's a one-trick pony. And they really don't have much else to offer in the passing game. Teddy Bridgewater has been absolutely pedestrian this year when it comes to passing the football. And anytime team can take Adrian Peterson away, Bridgewater and company unable to get the job done. And that's what I expect to happen tonight. They can play man-to-man on the outside without having to worry about it. Safety Deion Buchanan, who's built like a linebacker anyway, kind of like Cam Chancellor for Seattle, he'll be up snooping around the box all day. And it's going to be tough for Peterson to find yards. And so rare that we see him in back-to-back games where he's a guy that you're even mentioning about sitting. But again, based on matchup, based on trends and patterns, the Arizona Cardinals defense matches up perfectly against a pretty inept Minnesota Vikings defense if you take Adrian Peterson out of the fold. So lower your expectations, hope for the best, but he's not a guy that I would bank on, you know, putting up big numbers for your fantasy team this week. I think after this week, the likes of Chicago and Green Bay and the Giants are much more ripe for the picking. As for the Arizona Cardinals, Carson Palmer, Michael Floyd, Larry Fitzgerald, John Brown, I don't want to call them, Carson Palmer is a must start. This guy is on fire, second in the NFL in passing touchdowns behind Tom Brady. He's proven to be matchup proof. And when you have a defense like Arizona that should keep him with multiple opportunities, at some point he's going to strike. And once he gets momentum going, he's a guy who can light it up fast. And so those players I just alluded to, Larry Fitzgerald, because of the religious double-digit targets, is always the other must-start. David Johnson is a guy who's trending up on the fantasy stock market. If you go to NFLExporters.com fantasy football page, you'll see him trending up on the fantasy football stock market. He's a guy who's almost assured of 20 to 25 touches. He can get it done on the ground. We've seen that last week, 22 carries for 99 rough yards, but he also had 30 receiving yards and a receiving touchdown. So he's got some PPR value, and with Andre Ellington continuing to be banged up, he's a guy who's going to carry the full workload. Larry Fitzgerald, who is who I was speaking on before, David Johnson, he's the other guy because of the double-digit religious targets he gets weekly, who's a must-start. And then the other guys, I mean, J.J. Nelson, he's found himself into the equation lately. Michael Floyd and John Brown were up over 100 receiving yards last week. And so it's very hard to determine which one of those guys is going to have a big game. Last week, even though Fitzgerald had 11 targets, he was the low man on the totem pole between Nelson, John Brown, and Michael Floyd when it came to fantasy points. And so Carson Palmer's got four very good receivers at his disposal. Spreads the wealth out, and kind of hard to determine, but you certainly expect for them to push the tempo out in the desert, and they're a good look this week. Buffalo, Philadelphia. For Buffalo, you're starting all your guys with confidence. Shady McCoy, Sammy Watkins, Tyrod Taylor. He's a guy who, you know, he's been great this year. You know, I think the MCL sprain, he got a little nicked up. That kind of held him back a little bit. But he's been a guy who's very trustworthy. And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, it took me a long time to get comfortable playing a guy like Alex Smith. But I think Tyrod Taylor certainly fits that mold, a guy who, you know, doesn't blow you away. But at the end of the day, and I think the confidence we can have is, you know, his back-to-back games against defenses that you consider tougher than Philadelphia, when you talk about at Kansas City, he had a great game, and last week at home against the Texans. So he's a guy that I think that if you have a quarterback who's got an extremely rough matchup this week, you feel much safer with Tyrod Taylor, especially what he could do on the ground. You know, a 20, 30-yard scamper for six could add up to 8 or 9 points in your lineup quickly. As for the Philadelphia Eagles, I'm not confident in any of their players this week. I think that this is a game that Buffalo wins, and you look at the mess they got going on their backfield with DeMarco Murray, you know, Ryan Matthews, he's still up in the air with the groin injury. You know, Darren Sproles, he may be your best bet. Their wide receivers completely unproven. Now, Stephon Gilmore, the defensive back for the Buffalo Bills, likely is going to miss this game. So maybe that opens up the airwaves a little bit. But same thing, this passing attack has been extremely pedestrian all year for Philadelphia. Jordan Matthews. Now, I just think the Philadelphia Eagles players are too risky for you to be tampering with this week if you are needing a win. If you do want to go with Sproles or Matthews, you're certainly rolling the dice. San Francisco and Cleveland will make this quick and snappy. Shane Drone, he's the guy you want to look at. He's been handling about 85% of the workload for the 49ers this year. We know that Cleveland's run defense is very suspect, and he's a guy who can get it done out of the backfield as well. So I think he's your strongest start across the board in this matchup. You look at the Cleveland Browns, Johnny Manziel is going to be starting that quarterback, so you really don't know what to expect. Gary Barnage has been a little banged up lately, and the 49ers defense, as Greg Bofortune stressed to you last week, very, very, very good against tight ends this year. They're one of the best in the NFL. Martellus Bennett or Zach Miller. You didn't hear a single peep from either one of the Bears tight ends last week. So, you know, I think you're kind of reluctant with Barnage. You know, and Johnny Mellon in particular, you know, it's Cleveland offense. Again, this is not the time of year that you should be gambling. You know, you had 13 weeks to you know, kind of basically get your gut instinct in place where they need to be. So unless you have a hunch, I stay away from the Cleveland Browns offensive skill set players this week, unless you know something that I don't. Detroit at St. Louis, you got to play Matt Stafford. Megatron, you certainly expect for that 1-2 connection to continue on. Now, we know that the Rams defense plays extremely tough at home, but as of late, they've just buckled under pressure. You go to the fantasy football page on NFLExporter.com, you scroll down to Week 14 trends and patterns, and that's what you'll see. You know, this Rams defense, stout. At the halfway point of the season, they were like a top three fantasy defense, but their offense gets them in a ton of trouble and keeps them on the football field way too much. And a Detroit Lions defense has played much better. Now, I think momentum certainly plays into this one. I mean, St. Louis has really been getting trashed here maybe the last 3 to 4 weeks. And, you know, you expect them to win, you know, I guess one more game this year. I mean, you look at their schedule coming up here. And it's rough. You know, they got Seattle, you know, Tampa Bay, this game here against Detroit. And so, I mean, I guess you're hoping that Nick Foles and Brian Quick and Kenny Britt, that pedestrian offense can move the ball. But, you know, teams have been clamping down on Todd Gurley, and, you know, it's going to be Case Keenum this week. That's a step back to me, not a step forward from Nick Foles. So, you know, a lot of these games, game flow dictates a lot, and I expect for Matt Stafford and Calvin Johnson, and particularly Calvin Johnson, to have enough opportunities to cash in. But again, the Rams defense is tough. Their heart's been questioned lately, so you expect for them to hang in a little longer in this football game. And so, you know, Golden Tate, he may be a guy who can do something for you if the Rams decide to double Calvin throughout the course of the game. This one a tad bit risky too. You know, I'm thinking 24, you know, 17, you know, 27-17 on the scoreboard. And don't forget, the Lions may have a hard time getting up. They had their hearts ripped out last week on that Hail Mary play that pretty much ended their postseason aspirations. And so this one a little tricky. Todd Gurley, I guess, you know, this week you're just hoping he does better. I mean, they fired their offensive coordinator. It's not going to change anything. Next week, Tampa's coming into town. They're a top, you know, seven run defense. So, you know, I guess this is the week that maybe the doors can open up for Gurley. He's been suffering for a month straight. And like we kind of seen with Tavius Murray last week, who played a very tough Kansas City Chiefs run defense, sometimes it's just about it being a matter of time. You know, a player going 3-4 straight games doing nothing, you know, at some point he's going to break out and make it happen. All right, look, we're going to run to a quick break. When we come back, it's going to be James Morris, Mr. Fantasy Guy himself, joining us to do a great segment. And so don't go anywhere. It's the Extra Points NFL Exporter. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got more great action for you, so stay tuned. All right, NFL football fans and fantasy football owners, welcome back to the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show, the place where you get expert fantasy advice for champions. Don't forget the live call-in number is 627-62. We've got our guy, James Morris, who's going to be joining us here in a sec. So if you have any questions, he's a great guy to rub off on and get some great advice going into your Week 14 matchups. Also, don't forget to go to NFLExporter.com. We'll be referencing the website throughout the course of the show. And hit us up on Facebook.com/NFLExporter. Don't forget the spelling for that is NFLExporter. And without further ado, let's go ahead and bring on Mr. Fantasy Guy 23 himself, James Morris from NFL.com's Fantasy Football page. James, how's everything going this evening?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, for me, it's the start of the fantasy playoffs in two leagues, and I need a win to get in. I'm holding on to the eighth seed in another league. So, man, adrenaline's flowing here. Definitely ready to get things going.
Yeah, go win all the leagues. But I know in my league personally, the league that I run with a bunch of friends, and I was ravaged by running back injuries. Had a great depth early in the season, traded some of that away for wide receivers, and in his last 3 or 4 weeks, all my running backs have just gone down. Now I'm, you know, looking at C.J. Spiller as my number two running back and actually pretty happy about it. So it's kind of sad, actually.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Like you said, it's been a bad year for injuries, especially at the running back position. And, you know, we'd all feel much better about C.J. Spiller if we knew that he was going to come in like a Thomas Rawls, like a David Johnson, you know, and pick up the full workload. But even in trying to, you know, kind of split hairs and figure this thing out yesterday, Sean Payton didn't make it any easier for us yesterday by having a headline saying C.J. Spiller is going to be playing a more significant role. But then when you open up and read the article, Payton says that he's going to be receiving more of a significant role as well as Tim Hightower. So here we go, running back committee. For this fantasy season so far. Before we start hitting you up for some questions, James, for those of you who don't know, outside of his work on NFL.com, he also writes and covers the Cincinnati Bengals and the Jacksonville Jaguars. So let's get a quick injury update. Tyler Eifert, tight end for the Cincinnati Bengals, missed last week's game with a neck injury. Really didn't need him, so smart to sit him out. Key matchup here, trying to close out the division against Pittsburgh. What's the latest on him, and should we expect to see him on the football field 100% healthy this week?
Yeah, he had a little stinger last week. Like you said, the Bengals didn't really need him, so he was a full go in practice today. You know, no limitations, so he's looking on track and ready to play on Sunday, provided there's obviously no setback, but he's good to go. He just got a week out to rest in a game they didn't really need him in.
Okay, great. And then the other guy that we definitely want to check on is Allen Hurns, wide receiver for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We know he missed last week's game. Concussion, this guy's a warrior. He's really been fighting numerous injuries all year. You know how that can be once nagging injuries occurred and they start leaking over to other parts of your body. But Indianapolis, one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL, giving up 280 yards. Blake Bortles and company on fire last week. Man, getting Hurns back in. I mean, to know that Bortles did that without Hurns, now you got another weapon in the fold. Can we expect for Allen Hurns to be on the football field? Can owners feel confident about starting him in Week 14?
Yeah, he's going to play this week. You're going to see some headlines where, you know, they say he was quote-unquote limited in practice, but that's just the Jaguars limiting his reps as he gets back into the flow this week. He took a nasty hit on the head, you know, concussion. So he was obviously out last week going through the NFL concussion protocols, but he's passed. He's been cleared to play. He's been cleared to practice. And he's looking good to go in a game where he could really flourish, like you said, because of Indianapolis' secondary and the problems they're going to also have on offense with quarterback. I'm looking for Hurns to step right back in and fulfill that same steady role that he's always been playing all year long, you know, 50 yards, five receptions, a touchdown, somewhere in that area.
All right, sounds good. There you have it. All right, so, James, man, we want to hit you up for a lot of great topics today, especially with the playoffs, or I'm quite sure a lot of owners just needing one last win to get in. And so let's talk trends and patterns. You know, I think this is a year more than any other year that being careful of matchups and understanding trends and patterns certainly affects what players you have in your lineups and how you want to get things set. And so give me five of the top trends that you have going on right now that owners should be leery of for Week 14 matchups.
Well, if you're looking at, you know, guys you just want to stay away from, Todd Gurley is my biggest one right now. You know, I got him in an ESPN league, and they've got him locked where you can't even drop him. You know, outside of that four-game stretch that he had, I think between weeks like 4 and 8, you know, he really hasn't been that good. I mean, we obviously know he has the talent to play at this level and excel at this level, but the Rams' offense, nobody is going to respect that passing game. They're just going to stack the box, and that's what's really hurting Gurley's value as we move forward. And too many people are sticking him in their lineups and just plugging him in there, and he's actually killing lineups right now. So for me, Gurley is obviously number one. Another one that you probably want to stay away from, I mean, you're looking at, like, I don't like guys like Adrian Peterson personally. Those are guys I try to stay away from. He's similar to that one-dimensional offense. Obviously, Adrian Peterson has proven time and time again that he can get the job done and that he can produce regardless. But the Vikings have really nothing at wide receiver for anybody to respect, nothing at tight end. Kyle Rudolph is just not there. Teddy Bridgewater is not looking like he's really taking that next step. I mean, a wide receiver, they have Stephon Diggs, but that's it. And teams are starting to figure that out and really do the same thing to the Vikings that they're doing to the Rams, and that they're just stacking the box. So Peterson, for me, isn't one of those plug-and-play players that, you know, you took in the first round and you just stick him in there and leave it. And then another one, if you look at the other positions, wide receiver, Dez Bryant. He's no longer somebody that I trust in fantasy leagues. I mean, you take the guy, you hope for the best. You know, you're thinking that's your number one top wide receiver. And with Tony Romo out and the running game not really as scary as it used to be, Dez Bryant is somebody I actually have on my bench in a few leagues. And not just because of this week, but looking forward, I just don't want somebody else to get him and put him in their lineup. So I keep him on my bench because I really don't need him. I don't need the bench space, but he's disappointing. A lot of teams got, you know, Matt Castle at quarterback. He's just ineffective. The running game is hit or miss. So, I mean, Darren McFadden is good, but he's not great. And it's just, I don't trust anybody on that Dallas offense as a whole right now. And then another one, I think people need to be careful with the Packers, you know, their offense as a whole. You don't know what you're getting from Eddie Lacy or from Cobb every single game. You know, Jordy Nelson out, they're just, it's really showing the hole, the chink in their armor, you know, with not having that trusted guy that Aaron Rodgers can just pepper game in and game out. And I know, you know, Ricardo Rodgers, he stepped up last week, Richard Rodgers had a great catch, and it was a miracle win, but in a game, to be quite honest, they didn't deserve to win. So I think you have to play those guys in the right situations, and then you have to temper your expectations of them as you go forward. Too many people see that Packers banner, and they just get way too hyper over it. And then, you know, I guess if you're looking at defenses, you have to stream. You know, I mean, people, there's not really many defenses. Even the Broncos at this point, they have a great defense, but you have to play them in the right matchups. You know, they've been great all season, but defenses at this point are moving toward a streaming option because nobody has a great play every single week. So I think that fantasy owners need to pay attention to their matchups, especially in the fantasy playoffs, and really look to see if they can get one of those sneakier defenses like the Lions this week, or even the Jacksonville Jaguars that no one's talking about, but their defense has come up big, and the Colts really do have a lot of problems on offense. So I think that you've got to look at the matchup as a whole and make your decisions based on them, not just plug and play a defense.
Man, great stuff there. Great. So I just wanted to ask you real quick. I was thinking about that earlier. Last year, the Dallas Cowboys, I'm putting a quote-unquote on it right now, had the best offensive line in the NFL. Things change from year to year. So coming into this year, they brought that label back in with them. I think that's a big part of the reason that Dallas really didn't put up an effort collectively as a whole to bring DeMarco Murray back. They figured they could just put anybody behind that line. Now seeing that line, it's not getting the same push it was last year. Do you think that, it is that their offensive line just isn't playing that well this year? Or with Tony Romo being out, our team just kind of stacking the box because they don't respect Matt Cass. So I just wanted to try to get a little gauge on the Cowboys' offensive line, because they do have the best line in the NFL. I still feel like there should be a little bit more of a success rate than what I've seen. And then also, me and you talked about it, James, teams just don't use a fullback anymore. So, maybe that's a part of it as well. Everybody wants to do a single back set or run out of the pistol. And I mean, at that point, if there's extra men in the box, you really don't have a chance.
Yeah, I think with the Cowboys, I think their line is still great. The problem is, kind of a combination of different factors. You have Matt Castle in there instead of Tony Romo, so defenses aren't as worried about, dropping back into coverage, leaving that linebacker in the middle of the field, dropping those safeties back. They don't have to do that because you know what you are or, for most points are not going to get from Matt Castle at the quarterback position. Plus, Dez Bryant was out a lot of the year, so then you kind of know that Terrence Williams and Cole Beasley, they're not going to scare you on defense, so you don't have to really drop – you don't have to play double coverage back there. You can just, bring your guys up to the line and try to stop that run. Then you also have a running back. You also don't have DeMarco Murray back there, who, is clearly a better overall running back than Darren McFadden. So you have just a combination of so many different things that defenses, they're not worried about the Cowboys anymore. You know what the quarterback can't do. You know what the wide receivers can't do based on what the quarterback can't do. And you know you have a running back there who, for all intents and purposes up to this point, has been, kind of a bust on what he came into the NFL to be. So McFadden has had some good games, but I think those good games are actually a product more of the offensive line and what they're able to do rather than McFadden and some kind of refound resurgence in his ability. And when defenses do just shut down the run, it's just because they're stacking the box, they're pinning their ears back, and they're, making a run for whoever has the ball, and they don't have to worry about that secondary because most teams have a good enough secondary to play, man-to-man on Williams and Beasley, and maybe it brings some safety help both for Dez Bryant. But even if they don't, the quarterback still can't get him the ball, nine times out of ten, so they're not worried about it.
Great stuff. Well, I'm like you. I agree 100%. All those players you mentioned, AP, Gurley, the Packers, the Cowboys, very risky. And, man, you really got to evaluate your matchups and play the percentages. And, if you can happen to try to get by for a week, a guy like Peterson, like I said, he'll have much more favorable matchups against the Giants in Chicago the next couple weeks. And, as much as this looks like a dream matchup for Aaron Rodgers and company, which I think they're due for a feel-good win at home. It's been a long time. They really haven't even looked like the Packers at home, maybe since earlier in the year against Kansas City. But keep in mind, Dallas' defense ranked fifth overall, fifth against the pass. So, like you said, it may not be as simple as just sticking a guy based on his name. All right, James, now talk to us, man. We got this time of year. You just hinted at C.J. Spiller, Tim Hightower, with Mark Ingram going down. Those guys now find themselves as some viable options late in the season here with the running back situation being so messy this year.
give us maybe your top five or just five good sleepers, players that may be a little bit off the radar or owners aren't quite paying attention to who could pay some nice dividends for you this week.
Well, this week in particular, C.J. Spiller, Tim Hightower, you know, those are two guys that are the hot waiver wire pickups with Ingram going down. It's sounding like Spiller is going to be the more useful back, but it also sounds like they're going to be in that running back by committee. So you don't know if they're just going to end up canceling each other out in the end. So, but for right now, I had to pick up Spiller in a few leagues just because I'm so desperate at running back. So for me, he's one of them. Another one that I've been waiting for it all year. I've been counting on it, Jeremy Hill. You know, he's not a guy you're going to get off the waiver wire, obviously, but he's somebody that's been hard to play all year. But you have this matchup with Pittsburgh. You know, it's a must-win game for each team in a different scenario. The Steelers have to win to stay alive. The Bengals have to win to lock this thing up. And you could either see this game obviously go, you know, pass or run heavy, but these are two teams that have a long history, heated division rivalry. It could either be a high-scoring game or a ground-and-pound, run it out, and just grind out the yards. I think Jeremy Hill this week is finally going to get over that 100-yard mark. You know, he's starting to ramp up his play slowly in fantasy terms, and he's starting to pay off dividends. Another one is the Jaguars. You know, everybody knows and loves, you know, Blake Bortles and what he's doing in fantasy, but you still get that stigma that it's the Jaguars. You know, Allen Hurns is going to be back this week, so that's going to eat in a little bit to Allen Robinson and Julius Thomas's targets. But it's an offense that you can trust. Even if they're playing from behind, they're playing from ahead, you know, which they haven't done a whole lot this season, Bortles, Robinson, Hurns have put up numbers consistently. And yet I consistently get, you know, emails and social media questions on whether they should play these guys or not. And my question would be, who do you have that's in consideration? You have Julio Jones and Odell Beckham in there? Because if not, Allen Robinson's a great option. You know, most teams have him as their wide receiver 2-3. You know, this week he could end up being a 1 with Hurns being a 2 if he can get just a few extra looks. And Julius Thomas is starting to step his game up. He's getting in sync with Bortles. So at the tight end position where it's always boom or bust, you know, all or nothing, Julius Thomas is another very good option for owners to consider. If you're looking for more options beyond that, I mean, I think that this week it's you have a lot of the guys who that you see and you're not really sure if they're going to be good or if they're not going to be good. And most weeks it's pretty self-evident. You know, you don't really have in week 14, you don't really have too many sleepers. You know, most of the time you're looking at busts at this point in the season because anybody worth anything has already been picked up. So I think guys like Russell Wilson, you know, I mean, he's owned in every league, but he's really starting to step his game up now. He's turning the season around after a real rocky first part of the season. He's coming through for owners now. Vincent Jackson, you know, he's somebody that has been hard to own all season long, but this is a great matchup for him, you know, against a secondary that just quite honestly is, you know, is the worst in the league. So everybody always wants to look at Mike Evans, but look at Vincent Jackson. Look at, you know, ASJ out there at tight end, you know, Austin Jenkins, and he's there. He's on the waiver wire for a lot of leagues. You know, Jameis Winston, he's available in a lot of leagues. So this week, I think you have to look at matchups like the New Orleans matchup. You know, play those Buccaneers. You know, I know the Bucs coaches have come out and said they're not going to change their game plan. They just want to throw about, you know, 30% of the time with Winston, but I don't see that happening. I think they want to build this rookie's confidence. And at this point in the season, this is the best chance they have to make him feel like, you know, he's the next Hall of Fame quarterback in the NFL with a secondary that is just awful at this point. So, you know, I think the Jaguars, I think, you know, any Bucs player, I mean, you could even look at Charles Sims. You know, if you're in a PPR league, you know, Charles Sims at running back might not be a bad option. I don't see them playing from behind, but he can start getting work if Doug Martin gets up early. You know, they could just turn to Sims. So he's a sneaky kind of offensive player. You know, and then you have Tyrod Taylor. That's somebody that I really like this week. You know, everybody knows him now, but But I've been pumping this guy since earlier in the season when nobody knew him and he was on a lot of waiver wires. So you have to look at the players who are producing. You know, I get people all the time that email me and they're like, you know, should I drop this guy? Should I add this guy? Should I play this guy? Well, you know, look over the past four, five, six games. What have they done? You know, don't get caught up in, you know, Jacob Tammy. You know, he had good weeks, I think, like weeks 2, 5, and 8. But other than that, he really hasn't been that consistent. He's not somebody that you can count on. So don't get cute at this point. You know, stay within your lane and look at the stats, because that's what fantasy football is, all about stats, and the stats don't lie.
Exactly. I think, too, a couple other guys who are hot commodities, maybe sleepers this week, Devonta Parker, wide receiver from Miami. He's expected to start again in the absence of Rashard Matthews. And like you said, if you take a look back over the season, that's pretty much the only two people that Tannehill had been throwing to was Jarvis Landry and Rashard Matthews. Parker, 2 TDs, and playing a very poor Giants secondary that game, could get into a shootout. And then also Spencer Ware for Kansas City. He's a guy, you know, kind of like Jeremy Hill, Sharkhandrick West right now. Last week, yeah, I can't use the word dominate. I mean, he got 10 carries. Spencer Ware got 6. You know, Kansas City passed a lot more. They're starting to air it out now. But Ware, like Jeremy Hill, seems like he's the guy, you know, red zone, goal line. And he was able to end up with more points than West last week, even though less yardage. Got the goal line touchdown. And we certainly expect for Kansas City to have some of those opportunities as well. All right, James, now let's turn it over to three players. I'd like to hear from you who you think have very favorable playoff schedules. And look, it's 4 weeks to go. So I would say, you know, two or even three games, probably not going to find too many players where it's just for every single week. They've got a great schedule, but there's certainly some guys out there who, you know, 3 out of 4 weeks, or maybe more importantly, weeks 15 and 16, 16 and 17 have some very favorable matchups.
Well, the guy that comes to mind first is Jonathan Stewart out in Carolina. You know, obviously nobody's surprised about Carolina anymore. You know they're going to come in, they're going to play good offensive, defensive football. They're undefeated, but they've locked up the division. There's no reason for them to go out there and try to get Cam Newton hurt, so you put Jonathan Stewart on the ground, let him grind it out. You know, obviously there's a danger in them starting to sit him more as we progress deeper into the playoffs of weeks 15, week 16, you know, 17. But I think that they're going to stick with him. I think that he's somebody that they're going to let keep going, and maybe he'll start sitting in the fourth quarter if the team is up. But that's somebody that at this point I really love, just because the Panthers are so far ahead in the season. I know you said one, like, you know, three players, but I still love the Jaguars to finish out the season. And it's not just because I write for them. You know, I got into a whole heated debate with somebody on Jaguars.com about it. And then it's just because the team, they have so much to build for. You know, even though they're not going to the playoffs, you know, more than likely, and I haven't been eliminated yet, but you have an offense that's gaining momentum. So I don't think you look to start sitting guys like Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns. You know, even T.J. Right. Yeldon at running back right. is somebody that you can continue to play into the playoffs and deep into the playoffs, because they're not going to rest their guys. They're going to play them right. until the bitter end. So, right. and then they've produced regardless of yep. the matchups all yep. season long. So they're somebody that you can really trust. On the other side of it, actually, one guy that I don't care for that everybody else does is Javarius Allen, you know, Buck Allen out sure. in Baltimore. I think people need to really be careful with him, because his playoff matchups are horrible. So, yeah, one-dimensional offense coupled with a bad matchup on defense, and he's somebody that I think is going to disappoint a lot of people. But somebody else to get to look at for a good sleeper pick is Brian Hartline out in Cleveland. You know, he's the last 2 weeks, I think he's had like 8 targets each week or 8 receptions. You know, he's getting the looks. Johnny Manziel's back in there at quarterback. It's not that Manziel is the next, you know, the next great hype, but he's made improvements. He's made strides. And Hartline is that receiver that he can trust. You know, Travis Benjamin is that big play guy. He's his Dez Bryant, his Odell Beckham. But Hartline is his Jordy Nelson. He's that guy. He's going to go in there. He knows he's going to get the receptions. He can trust them to get those possessions. and he can move the chains with a guy like Brian Hartline. He's not going to wow you, but if you're in a PPR league, he's going to get you a bunch of points just based off those receptions.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, I'm with you, man. Javorius Allen, and, you know, maybe it's his PPR value. Perhaps the games get so out of control that he's able to pick up something in garbage time. But like you said, you're talking about Seattle coming to town this week, and then you're hearing that Jimmy Clausen potentially could be on the field next week, Kansas City. That's a brutal matchup. I don't know who they have. Actually, you know what, in week 16, they have Pittsburgh coming in, and Pittsburgh is a top 10 defense against the run, and you know they're going to be desperate for a win. I don't know what they play in week 17, but like you said, over the next, I mean, Buck Allen was able to give you back-to-back weeks of double-digit points. And it's about matchups, just like we're saying, Adrian Peterson, reluctant right now. The same holds true for Allen. He was able to get off, you know, against the sorry Browns defense. We know Miami's defense doesn't show up, but you know this week with Seattle coming to town, Javorius Allen has no business being in your lineup unless you are just desperate and you have no choice at all to back you. Certainly, James, man, I'm with you. Forget about who you're right for. Blake Bortles, third in the NFL. In touchdown passes, only behind Carson Palmer and Tom Brady. You know he's got to be feeling confident after throwing five. Finally got a clean game in last week. Look at the weapons. Like you said, Julius Thomas now hitting stride. Hearns, Robinson, these are prolific weapons. And T.J. Yeldon's the guy who, you know, like Frank Gore, that was on our website last week. Both of those guys finally came through. But just based on volume, I mean, he's assured 18-plus touches across the board. Can't beat that at the running back position this year. So I'm with you on board 100%. Another guy I did want to throw at you this week, I mean, he's done nothing all year. We know the 49ers run defense is very suspect. You know, who knows? Maybe Isaiah Crowell, who's been, I don't want to call him a bust. We didn't have super high expectations, but certainly a disappointment. You know, maybe this week he can do something for you as well. We know that you can find him easily on the waiver wire. All right, James, hey, man, before you get out of here, any other trinkets or gems or pieces of advice you want to give the fantasy owners?
I keep playing, you know, this weekend, play your Bengals because it's going to be a tough game. So don't let people talk you out of playing Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard. If you own them both, I wouldn't have a problem at all pairing them up at running back in the flex. I think they're both going to get used. You know, don't be afraid to play those Jaguars. Because whatever you think about the team, whatever you think about their record, like you said, Blake Bortles, third in touchdown passes, seventh in passing yards. You know, Allen Robinson, first in touchdowns at wide receiver in the NFL. So these guys have been producing all season long. And then my sleeper this week, you know, I have a good feeling about the Jaguars' defense. They came up big in London against the Bills, but I think they can do it again this week. Hasselbeck is hurt, his neck and his ribs. And if he's out, then you have, you know, a journeyman backup quarterback coming in who just doesn't have the confidence and doesn't have the skill set to excel and make T.Y. Hilton or any of those other guys really that great. So the Jaguars can then, you know, really play a different style of defense, not having to really worry about an elite quarterback. So I like the Jaguars, you know, to finish out the season. I like the Bengals to finish out the season. And, you know, you were saying you didn't know who Javorius Allen plays in week 17. That's Cincinnati. So, you know, they're going to have tough matchups. So Bengals, Jaguars, and then defenses, just look at the matchups. You know, don't think just because it's the Jaguars, they're automatically the worst defense in the NFL to play. I have them in my personal league, and I'm going to play them this weekend because of the matchup.
Because of the matchup. All right, great stuff, James. Well, thanks so much for joining us throughout the duration of the season. I'm quite sure our fan base here has gotten very familiar with you. And before you head out of here, and I'm quite sure start taking a look at the minutes, getting prepared for the Minnesota and Arizona game, please let us know where we can find you. I know you've got a multitude of places that you have been putting work in all year and doing an outstanding job.
Yeah, you can go to CincinnatiBengals.com or Jaguars.com. Find me there. You can hit me up on Twitter, FantasyGuy23, or you can go to NFL.com/fantasy, and you can find my work on there too. And I'm always on Facebook, Twitter, social media. You know, just Google me, find me, however, and I'll answer you back the same day. I always, you know, stay up till 2, 3 in the morning answering people. So you've always got a friend in me.
There you go, a friend in me. Well, you've certainly been a great friend to the show. And then also, you can find James on NFLExporter.com, pure NFL page. Done a great job all year covering the Cincinnati Bengals for us as well. All right, James, man, thanks a lot. Best of luck to you in getting your playoffs started, and we'll certainly be linking up with you on social media throughout the course of the rest of the season.
All right, thanks for having me.
No problem. All right, great. So that was once again James Morrison. As you know, the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show will be posted on the NFL Explorer website, so it'll be real easy for you to find. And then we'll definitely make sure, just for spelling purposes, we get James' Facebook and Twitter information to you as well. So we'll post that on Facebook and Twitter so everybody can easily reach him. All right, great. Let's run to another quick break. Once again, we are live from Dave and Buster's, Los Angeles, California. I know people are getting off work, coming over to check out the Arizona and Minnesota game. A lot of Arizona fans, they're right next door to us here in California, going to be coming out for the game. Fantasy playoffs getting underway this week. And so 6081 Center Drive, Los Angeles, 90045 is the place to be. Come and see me live and direct. And then once again, we're going to be here starting this Sunday. Every Sunday there moving forward for the fantasy playoffs, going to be a great atmosphere and a great way to bring a spectacular season to a close. Let's run to a quick break. When we come back, it'll be Greg LaFortune. We'll be talking week 14, top starts and sits, so don't go anywhere. NFLExporter.com. Fantasy football owners, you're listening to Extra Points, the place where you get expert fantasy advice for champions. And it's time. It's time to start bringing these championships in. It seems like it was just yesterday we were in fantasy football training camp and doing mock drafts and, you know, attacking every position and attacking this thing from every angle and aspect that you could possibly imagine. And here we are today. And if you have been with us in fantasy football training camp, you've been hitting me up throughout the course of the season. There's no reason why you should have not made the playoffs unless, you know, you got caught up in some bad injury situations. And certainly it's been a year of a lot of uncertainty. But for the most part, especially once we got to about week 7 or 8, then at that point, you know, things had balanced out and you kind of knew. We did a mid-season special on NFLExporter.com, and we emphasized and really focused on trends and patterns because there were certain things like Brandon Marshall, like Larry Fitzgerald being guys who were going to be getting the targets weekly. There were certainly things that had taken place like the Denver Broncos defense being dominant, wanting to avoid that matchup. So without further ado, let's go ahead and bring in Greg LaFortune. He's been handling the top starts and sits for us the past couple weeks. And Greg, come on in. How's everything going today?
Everything's good, Lance. How about you?
Going well. All right, so let's get into it. Week 14, tell us your top starts and sits, you know, the top players that owners should be sticking in their alliance with confidence, those players that owners should be rather reluctant to put on the field this week, especially if they are in need of a win.
Okay, I'm going to start you off. Loving Blake Bortles, along with everybody else in the world. He's playing Indy. Indy's bottom half of the league in defense. They just got gassed last week for 45 points. Bortles put up some good numbers the last two. He's got like 650 yards, 7 touchdowns, and a pick in his last two games, which are very nice numbers. And, I mean, he's got Hearns back. He's got Allen Robinson. He's got Julius Thomas making a move now, so loving Bortles this week against Indy.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we just got through talking about with James Morris. He covers the Jaguars. We've been, you know, emphasizing Bortles for a while, so I think everybody knows what to expect from him. Who you got next from us, Greg?
Next, I got Travis Taylor at Philly. Tyrod Taylor, against Philly. He's got 20 points in his last two against two good defenses, Houston and Kansas City, which isn't too bad. And he's taking care of the ball. He hasn't thrown an interception since week 4. He's only got one lost fumble all year. And as far as the matchup goes, Philly gives up the second most passing touchdowns so far this year. So I'm loving Tyrod Taylor this week.
Yeah, definitely. Nice stat there, too. Impressive. I know Alex Smith. So he got to look that up. I know everybody's been emphasizing Alex Smith, and he hasn't thrown an interception since week 3. If Taylor hasn't done through since week 4, that's something we need to highlight and give him a lot of credit for. I think that's probably one of the things, Greg, that people undervalue the most at the quarterback position in fantasy football is interceptions, turnovers. I mean, I've had a couple games I've lost this year maybe, 8 points or something, and I have four guys on my team, quarterback, a couple interceptions, a couple fumbles, and he'll put you behind the eight ball. So certainly a guy like Taylor who protects the football and also can do some damage with his feet is a guy. He's got a really nice matchup, like you said, the Chiefs and the Bills, Chiefs and Texans defense, at least on paper and trend and pattern, were much tougher, and he certainly went out and did his thing. What you got next for us, Greg?
Okay, on to the running backs. I'm loving Doug Martin this week. Obviously, he's playing New Orleans. We all know how bad New Orleans is. And Doug, he's been hot lately. The 90 touches in his last four games, 536 total yards. That's some good fantasy points right there. New Orleans gives up the third most points against running backs. That's a great matchup. I'm loving Doug Martin this week.
Definitely, and he's been a pleasant surprise. As you know, Greg, we talked about him in fantasy football training camp, and I know owners are happy that they were right. Everybody expected for Martin to do better with a better quarterback. It's a contract year. He's not battling injuries, and it's like that. I've been through a rough 2 years, and the volume more than anything. That's where fantasy owners were expecting for Martin to be able to do well, was just based on sheer volume, and he's done that. A legitimate 25 carries for 95 yards and a touchdown last week, the week before, 97 against Indy, the week before, 235 against Philly. So he is certainly getting a workload, doing well, and like you said, the Saints defense is an absolute joke. Next.
Okay, this one might come as a surprise to a lot of people. I like Todd Gurley this week. For one, Detroit's given up 15 rushing touchdowns. That tops in the league. And Gurley's kind of been in a slump. He's only had 19 touches the last two. Offense is kind of in shambles. I'm thinking they need to lean on him a little bit more. I think they're going to do that this week against the poorest Detroit defense. I think they're going to feed him the ball, see what they got for the future with Todd Gurley. I like him this week against Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the only thing we can really lean on. We certainly have, if you're going to play Gurley this week, you're just hoping that the Rams defense can keep it close. I mean, that's what's really gotten Gurley out of games the last couple of weeks, is the game's getting so far out of hand. Kind of like Adrian Peterson, he's not a guy who's known or, really just, the team does not have the game plan to feature him in the passing game. So if his team gets down early, he's going to get phased out. But they got rid of their offensive coordinator. The new coordinator said he's going to get him more touches, which would be wise. Again, you're just hoping, Detroit. And I think this is the matchup, like you said, Greg. Sometimes, we talked about Latavius Murray last week. If a player has four straight games struggling, then you certainly expect at some point that things will loosen up. And I think this would be the week. Tampa Bay's run defense, very tough next week. Games at home, like I said, maybe Detroit's still moping a little bit from a heartbreaking loss last week. So, man, if you play him, I think it's still a gamble. But looking at his playoff schedule, because after Tampa Bay, then you got Seattle. This is probably the brightest daylight that he potentially can see.
Exactly. I totally agree. Okay, on the receivers, I'm loving Allen Robinson, just like I love Bortles this week. Playing Indy, poorest defense, giving up a ton of points. And Robinson, the last five games, he's got 31 catches, 500-plus yards, and five touchdowns in his last five. Loving him this week. Colts give up the third most points fantasy wide receivers. It's a beautiful matchup. I love Allen Robinson this week.
Yeah, great matchup. I mean, I think it's not even a reservation. I mean, the first time these two teams played, it was Indy. It was Matt Hasselbeck. Blake Bortles had 298, a touchdown, about 30 running yards, but only one TD pass. They did get in the red zone, couldn't quite complete the deal. But I think it's about momentum. And I think that, like you said, I mean, Blake Bortles, Allen Robinson, after that performance last week, they've got their confidence has to be sky high. I know Indianapolis has given up, they're 31st against the pass, 280 yards on average. And, I guess being a division game, it's a game that Indianapolis needs to win to get in. So, I mean, I'm just trying to think, if Indianapolis wins this game, I can't imagine the scoring being very high with Matt Hasselbeck banged up. So that's the only question mark I have over it. It's the NFL, but I think all things considered, Allen Robinson, who's another target monster, we talked to James Morris Hearns, is set to play maybe a couple less targets. But right now, I think you have to put Allen Robinson and Odell Beckham Jr. and Brandon Marshall, right up there with DeAndre Hopkins, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones as your top receivers in fantasy. I mean, they are really maximizing what they can do with those heavy amount of targets.
Oh, definitely, Robinson. I mean, this kid is talented. I mean, look at this Jacksonville team. I mean, they're young. and they are hungry, and they're putting up points every week. I mean, you got Yeldon, you got Bortles, you got Robinson and Hearns, all young guys. And, I mean, it's better than they were last year. They're really turning it around this year. I'm kind of rooting for them. You know, they're not my team, but I kind of root for the underdog, you know. And they're the underdog every week, it seems. So maybe not for long. Next, I like Mike Evans. Next, I like Mike Evans against New Orleans. Once again, New Orleans, obviously. Evans got 2 touchdowns in his last 3, even with Vincent Jackson back. So he's getting his targets. He's getting looks in the red zone, which is a beautiful thing. And the Saints have been so horrible. I mean, 35 touchdown passes they've given up this year. I mean, that's just amazingly bad. I mean, I think Evans is going to get a touchdown this week, at least maybe 2. I think it's going to be a big game for him.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said, the Saints defense, it speaks for itself, and it's the matchup that everybody's looking for in the playoffs. Who you got next for us, Greg?
Okay, A.J. Green playing Pittsburgh this week. In the previous week, week 8, they played each other, and A.J. had 11 catches for a buck 18 and a touchdown. Pitt's pretty porous of a defense themselves. They're giving up about 280 yards a game, 22 touchdowns allowed. So Pittsburgh's not the defense they used to be. So I'm like A.J. Green this week. Cincinnati's coming in hot, and they're looking to improve their playoff picture a little bit. So I like A.J. this week.
Yeah, I mean, for this one, A.J. Green, obviously a guy you never can afford to sit with his big playability. I think it's going to be an interesting game, right? The first time around, you figure fireworks end up being a 17-13 kind of slugfest. And the Steelers' strength is their run defense. I think right now they're definitely ranked in the top 10. I can't remember exactly where, but their secondary is definitely where they're very poor and vulnerable. And so I guess the only question mark that you may have here is, like you said, with Green eating them up for 11 catches, a buck 18 and TD the first time around, you know, Pert does Pittsburgh maybe look to focus on him a little bit more and try to make somebody else beat him. But Green, just too good of a player to sit really on any given Sunday. Moving on, who you got next, Greg?
We're going with a couple tight ends that I like. This guy's kind of becoming a fixture on my start every week, Delanie Walker. Last 3 games, got 30 targets. He caught 22 of them, which is a great percentage. 292 yards and a touchdown. He's got 8 out of 12 games with 6-plus catches. I'm considering him is almost matchup proof. I mean, Mariota loves him. He catches almost everything he gets thrown his way. And he's getting some good volume. Even against the Jets, which is kind of a bad matchup, I still like Delanie Walker this week.
Yeah, totally agree. He was on the NFL Exporter website last week, Trends and Patterns. Just really outlining and highlighting that he gets the targets. And like you said, he's been the one constant. Not only does he get the target, he's one of the best. He has one of the highest rates at those targets being completed. And like you said, even in the matchup, and this is really the beauty of fantasy football, you know, the Jets' run defense is tough. So any yardage is really going to have to come through the air. And even if they get behind, like you said, if it's a situation where Tennessee has to pass all game, Walker is a guy, and he's got some good speed to be a tight end. So he's not like maybe Heath Miller or Jason Witten where, you know, defenses can latch on. He's actually a threat to get down the field. So like you, as long as the targets are there, he's going to continue to be productive. Who's the other tight end you have for us this week?
It's going to be Travis Kelce. He's playing San Diego. 8 out of 12 games for Kelce. He's had at least 5 catches. San Diego is pretty bad against the tight end. They allow the 7th most points. He's one of Alex Smith's favorite targets. Loving him this week against San Diego.
Yeah, great matchup there. And, I mean, either way it goes, you know. I mean, whether it's a blowout or whether the game is close, you know, the San Diego is a team that's always going to be trying to pass and push. And actually, interesting, that first matchup, Kelce did catch a touchdown. It was called back on a penalty. Jeremy Maclin had a couple catches where he's tackled right at the 1-yard line. So certainly opportunity is there. And like you said, Kelce, I mean, the tight end position beyond any other position this year, the likes of Gronkowski and Olsen and Delanie Walker and Barnage and Tyler Eifert and here with my goodness, I lost track of who we were talking about. Here for a minute. Travis Kelce. Those guys are staples as top 10 tight ends, so you certainly are playing them weekly with confidence. Who you got next for us, Greg?
A couple of defenses. I love the Chiefs this week against San Diego. They played each other week 11. Kansas City held them to 3 points. Chargers are losing all their weapons week by week, it seems. Rivers is serious downturn from where he was in the beginning of the year. I'm loving the Chiefs' defense this week. They're playing great.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess you just, I mean, sometimes you just wonder, you know, like especially when teams, I don't know how the NFL, I don't particularly care for that. I'm assuming it's something we don't know about. It has to do with schedule. I don't like these games where teams are playing each other 2 out of 3 weeks. I mean, it just makes no sense to me. But, I mean, they had the perfect recipe and plan to shut Rivers down in San Diego. I don't see why it should change. I think you get interested. Like, you know, Jacksonville and Tennessee played 2 weeks ago. Greg, we did a Thursday night show here. Now, the weather was messy, so the scoring was down, but nobody expected a shootout in that one. And so it'd be interesting to see how this one plays out. But nonetheless, the Chiefs are our team, one of the hottest in the NFL right now. And over the past couple of years, I remember Kansas City playing San Diego at the end of this last season. They knocked them out the playoff. Just give Phillip Rivers a ton of trouble. Who's the other defense you like this week, Greg?
I like the Bears this week against Washington. The Bears actually have been playing really good the last four. They average about 17 points given up a game. Got a couple of picks. Washington didn't show me much last week. They got no running game at all, and their passing game is a little suspect, you know. So I'm loving Chicago's defense. I think it's a good matchup. I think maybe they'll get a pick six or two. I think they're going to hold them to under 20 points. So there's a couple of points for your fantasy defense. I love them this week against Washington.
Yeah, certainly. Those are one of those defenses, you know, we talk about this time of year. If you're looking for a defense to stream, and like you said, let's call it what it is. This Washington Redskins offense is pedestrian. You know, DeSean Jackson going deep is really their biggest threat. And like you said, they can't run the football. And honestly, Chicago's defense, which was one of the worst in the NFL last year, playing a lot better. John Fox got his hands on a very young, one of the youngest defenses in the league. But they're, if I'm not mistaken, I don't want to call them out, but they're definitely a top five defense against the pass. And I think that is something that people really kind of overlook. And so, like you said, Washington doesn't have a lot of talent. Cousins is still very suspect. The game in Chicago, I just think for the Bears, another situation, kind of like Detroit, would they be able to get up for this one? They certainly slept on San Francisco last week. And by the time that one was all said and done, Greg, their playoff hopes were out the window. I think that's the only concern that you have there. Now let's talk about some players that owners should be seriously considering sitting out this week if they have some better options.
Definitely. I'm going to start off with David Tarek against Denver. I mean, we all know about Denver's defense. They're just monsters. Carr was horrible last week. He had 3 picks. And he's had multiple touchdowns in every game this year except for 2. One of them was Detroit, held them to 1 touchdown. The other one was Denver, held them to 1 touchdown. So I think it's a great matchup. It's a divisional matchup, and I'm not liking the way Carr looked last week, especially against Denver this week. So if you got somebody better than David Carr, I definitely have a seat.
Yeah, I completely agree. He also, that was great. I've seen that LaDainian Tomlinson has a nice segment where he outlines a couple plays that, you know, the highlights can't cover everything. And one of them was Derek Carr. Michael Crabtree was wide open. If he would have caught it, could have danced into the end zone. And, man, he just flat out missed him. I think he got rattled. But it'll be interesting to see what game plan they come with. I mean, Latavius Murray got to a great start on the ground. Like most other teams, you know, the Raiders just pass happy. They want to pass all day. And that got Carr in a ton of trouble. It really, I mean, that game was 20-20 before Carr came up with 2 bad interceptions that led to touchdowns. So, like you said, this is not the matchup. We've seen Denver's defense this year, and, man, these guys are unbelievable. Who you got next for us?
Matt Ryan against Carolina. It's really not even about the matchup that he's playing Carolina, which would be the obvious thing. It's more about Matt Ryan. He's played 12 games this year. He's got 17 touchdowns, very pedestrian. In his last 5 games, he's got 8 touchdowns and 7 picks, which is very less than pedestrian even. The Carolina's only given up 11 touchdowns all year. This is not a good matchup for him. I mean, the only reason I would say start Matt Ryan is if you got, like, a Julio Jones stack going. But other than that, I'd sit him down this week.
Yeah, he's a guy whose confidence just has to be in the dirt right now. I mean, hopefully his teammates are supporting him, but Julio Jones was vocal about red zone play calling. I could tell you firsthand from living in Atlanta, still have the city is stomping all over this guy's back. So he doesn't have a lot of support around him, and This is one of those matchups. They play Carolina week 16 back in Atlanta. So, you know, maybe you go for it there. But like you said, this just doesn't seem like a quarterback right now who can do much for you if you're in need of a win. Who's somebody else, Greg, that owners should be kind of reluctant to put out there this week?
Okay, Chris Ivory against Tennessee this week. Not really liking him. I love the way he runs. He runs hard. He runs with power. I mean, he's got guts. You can tell by the way he runs. He runs really hard, but he's got less than 100 yards in 7 straight games. They're bringing Paul Powell in more and more, it seems, for the passing down. See, he's losing work to him. And, I mean, Tennessee is great against the run. They're top 3 against running backs in fantasy. So I'm really not liking him this week.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think that, you know, he's a guy I think is tricky this week because he's one of those running backs because he does get the full workload, although, like you said, Powell is cutting it more. But hard to sit him out based on, you know, what he's done all year. And this could be one of those games, tricky, like that again, I think, against Jacksonville. He had 23 carries for 26 yards, but he had 2 goal line TDs to help him pump out 16 points. But it could be one of those games. It could be a game where he doesn't do much, but you do expect for the Jets defense to sink their teeth in early. You do expect for the Jets to be able to kind of get out ahead early in the Jets. And, you know, maybe because of game flow, he can kind of fold in. But if you're going on trends and patterns, Tennessee's defense certainly makes life difficult on running backs. Who's got next, Greg?
I got Javorius Allen or Buck Allen, whatever you want to call him, from Baltimore. Everybody pretty high on this guy, it seems, this week. But, I mean, he had a huge week last week, like 10 catches. He had some rushing yards. He had a great week, like 30-something points in my league. He's got Seattle this week. Seattle, even on the road, they average about 8 points to running backs in fantasy. They give up third fewest yards a game to teams. I mean, 87.8 yards a game to each team every week. That's an awesome average. I'm really not liking him this week. I'm sure a lot of people are high on him after the week he had last week, but not against Seattle. I'd sit him down unless you got somebody better.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this guy's got one of the most brutal playoff schedules. You're talking about Baltimore, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati. And especially, like I said, you know, I heard a Jimmy Clausen possible alert. You know, Matt Schaub is wanting to turn this thing in after another 2 pick sixes just to start off, you know, his first 2 games. And like you said, if you like Buck Allen this week, I hate to tell you, you're foolish. You know, I mean, this is not the matchup. Seattle ranked 5th against the run. And it's about matchups. And, I mean, there's no way that Buck Allen, who, you know, again, when Seattle watched film this week, that's the only guy they saw. So absolutely not. Buck Allen should not be a guy in your lineup or that you depend on for a win. Like I said, his only hopes is that that game gets so far out of hand that, you know, nobody cares anymore and he finds some garbage time points.
Exactly. Okay, on the wide receivers, a lot of people like Michael Crabtree. Just signed a nice extension. He's a good young player, but he's got Denver this week. I'm not really liking him. He's got 30 targets in the last 3. He's only caught half of them. 15 out of 30 targets he's caught. And he's averaging really not that much lately. It's about 45 yards a week lately. Denver's allowed 1 touchdown to a wide receiver this year, which is amazing. I don't see Crabtree getting much. I mean, he might get you the 6 or 8 points. He'll get some targets. You know that. His Carr's going to throw it a lot. But I'm really not liking him against Denver. He's going to get one of them with Denver corners on him. I don't think he's going to get much this week.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if this was a situation where Oakland was going to look at a return on their investment, this is not the week. I think he'll start earning that contract the following week against Green Bay. Absolutely, Denver's going to lock it down. Who's somebody else, Greg, that the owner should really be considering putting on their bench this week?
Okay, kind of a big name here. Dez Bryant playing Green Bay this week. Dez Bryant, he's turning into just a big name lately. His last 4 weeks, he's got 14 catches for 170 yards and a touchdown. That's about 3 for 40 a week. That's not what you want in one of your big-name wideouts. Green Bay's top 10 versus the wide receiver. If he got somebody better, don't be afraid to sit Dez. He hasn't been putting up the numbers. He didn't get a catch until the fourth quarter last week against Washington, who really isn't all that against the pass. It's more about Matt Castle than it is Dez, I'm sure. I'm sure if Romo was in there, he'd be on my start list, but not this week. So not liking Dez this week.
Yeah, I agree. I dropped him. I'm not going to lie. I actually dropped him and Emmanuel Sanders from the Broncos this week. Too inconsistent, too iffy. You know, I don't have time to gamble. Throwing names out the windows. I mean, Michael Floyd from Arizona was available. John Brown from Arizona was available. Doug Baldwin from Seattle was available. So I dropped Emmanuel Sanders. I dropped Dez Bryant, who after this week at Green Bay, you got the Jets coming to town. You expect for Revis to be back in that one. And then Dallas is going out to Buffalo. You know the weather's going to be extremely cold out there in week 16. So, man, yeah, I'm with you 100%. I would say this. The only way that Dez Bryant has a good game this week, number one, he's going to be motivated. Don't forget last year he had the drop or the so-called drop against the Packers in that playoff game. So there's got to be some motivation for him. And I think if Dallas was smart, you know, I don't know why more teams don't do it, Greg. You look at Pittsburgh, they have a guy like Martavius Bryant on the outside, 4-3 speed, at least once a quarter. Big Ben throws it deep. I mean, just to kind of keep it in defense's mind and, you know, let your playmakers be playmakers. So I think right. If the Cowboys had any sense, one of those games you're talking about, Greg, that Bryant had good numbers was, I don't want to call it luck with him, but it was an amazing catch in the back of the end zone that Sunday night game against Philly. Actually broke my back and caused me to lose by a point. But, you know, if Dallas was smart, I think that's the best way to try to get him involved. You know, just pick a couple plays a quarter and try to, you know, get that safety away and just chuck it up. You know, let him try to make plays, but doesn't look good. Matt Castle, I mean, after seeing what he did in that night game, Monday night against Washington, who can have any type of confidence in his passing abilities? Who's someone else you got for us, Greg?
It's kind of a guy that's on fire this week. I know you didn't really like the pick, but Jeremy Maclin against San Diego. Last week, the last time they played was week 11, so it's a couple of weeks ago. Maclin got shut down by the corner. He was on 3-for-29. San Diego is actually pretty good against the wide receiver, giving up the fifth fewest amount of points in fantasy. People forget he had two 30-point games the last 2 weeks, but before that he had 4 3-catch games in a row. And people forget that, and I think he's going to drop back into that, at least for this week. I don't know who he's got next week, but I'm really shaky about starting him this week against San Diego.
Yeah, and completely understandable. I mean, you know, he's a guy who is all about targets. When he gets double-digit targets, he's averaging 129 yards per game. He's got 6 touchdowns in those games. And the games that he doesn't get double-digit targets, he's only averaging about 45 yards. So game flow really has a lot to do with his production. As I did allude to in that San Diego game, he did literally have 2 catches where he got tackled on the 1 yard line, so his stats could be a little bigger. But he's been a guy who's really, his pattern has been easy to follow. If you think back to earlier in the season, Denver against Houston, weeks 1 and 2, slow, and then weeks 3, 4, and 5 against what was that, Green Bay, Cincinnati, and Chicago. His numbers went up. Yeah. Then he was quiet. Now all of a sudden he's getting the targets again. So it seems like finally Andy Reid is kind of letting this offense loosen up a little bit. They're looking to push it a little more. So probably not a guy you can sit, but certainly San Diego's tricky. You know, their defense is really bad, but, you know, they kind of find their way and game flow, like you said, for Kansas City, a team who still would prefer to win 24-10. So I can understand somebody has somebody better, you know, kind of sitting on the fence with him. Who's somebody else you got, Greg?
Okay, I got a couple of tight ends I do not like this week. He had a big game last week. He had that big Hail Mary catch, Richard Rodgers. He's got Dallas this week. Dallas is very good against the pass. They've only given up 12 touchdowns all year. I think they've given up 1 touchdown to a tight end the whole season. Before last week came, he had a huge game last week. I think it was 8 for a 140-something and a touch. Before that, he hadn't broke 45 yards. So the people that are high on him because of the game last week, don't be. I call it a fluke. You know, he does have Aaron Rodgers throwing to him, but for some reason he just doesn't get open. He doesn't get the targets usually. Last week was a fluke. I wouldn't put too much stock in Richard Rodgers this week.
Yeah, I'm with you. He's definitely been a guy, and I've used him a couple of times this year. I think when, you know, if you do need a tight end and you go to the waiver wire and you see him, he's usually someone you pick up for the reason you just said, Greg, who his quarterback is. You know, you kind of look at the other tight ends who are available and you say, you know what, let me go with him. At least he's got Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. But I'm like you, you know, it's been very inconsistent. The Cowboys ranked fifth against the pass, and this is going to be a matchup I'm really interested to see, Greg. You know, Green Bay hasn't looked like themselves since maybe week three or four against Kansas City. I feel like they're due for some type of notable win here at home in Lambeau Field. It's been a long time coming. They honestly could be 7-5 going into this game. But Dallas's defense ranks fifth overall. So I'm just really interested to see how that matchup shakes out, because coming into the season, this is a game that you certainly have circled on the calendar for Aaron Rodgers when you were looking at his potential playoff schedule. So this is going to be real interesting to see how this one shakes out. Who's someone else, Greg, that you think owners would be wise to strongly consider sitting out this week?
Okay, this man right here, he was actually on my start last week, Jordan Reed. He's got Chicago this week. Jordan Reed's got 6 touchdowns this year, but he's got none in his last 3. He's kind of trending downward. Chicago's given up 2 touchdowns all year to the tight end. They give up the third fewest points to tight ends in fantasy. It's kind of a bad matchup for Jordan Reed. They must have a good linebacker to cover the tight end for them to have those stats. So I'm really not liking Jordan Reed against Chicago this week, playing at Chicago too.
Yeah, I completely understand. I mean, I think, again, you know, he's a guy that Kirk Cousins loves. So hard to sit him. You know, he's still one of those top 10 to 11 tight ends that you got penciled in on a week-in and week-out basis. But this could very easily, you know, be one of those, you know, 20 to 17 type games, which usually doesn't manufacture a ton of stats, or at least stats that you need to really put up a good score in a playoff week or a week where you need a win. Who's somebody else you got for us, Greg?
Okay, we got a couple of defenses to round it out this week. Cincinnati versus Pitt. Pittsburgh's offense is just unbelievable lately. They're putting up big numbers. They're a red-hot team. They got everything clicking. They got Bryant. They got both Bryants, actually. They got a nice little running back. Big Ben's throwing it all over the field to everybody. I just don't like Cincinnati's chances. Their defense is good, but I think Pitt's going to put up some points, and I don't see any points going to Cincinnati's defense this week.
Yeah, Cincinnati's actually one of the better defenses in the league. But like you said, when you think about the Pittsburgh Steelers, I don't care what defense it is, it's a matchup that you definitely want to sit out. You can find something better. You heard James talk about Jaguars struggling, Matt Hasselbeck. You heard us allude to the Bears with Kirk Cousins coming to town. So definitely look around. You know, there's definitely matchups on a week-in and week-out basis where, you know, even Detroit, you know, I mean, St. Louis has been struggling lately. So, you know, take a look around and also understand it took for me a couple of years to kind of just get it embedded in my mind. Don't worry so much about the score, how many points get scored against your defense. Think about how many sacks and potential turnovers they can get. And then also keep an eye out for teams that have good special teams. We've seen a lot of special teams, you know, block punts, you know, kickoff, field goals block. Seen one of those ran back and punt returns and kickoff returns. So definitely keep those things in mind.
Okay, just one more defense. I know a lot of people like to stream their defenses. And Philadelphia just put up an amazing game, 3 different defensive touchdowns last week against New England. They put up a ton of points. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people jumping on them this week to be their streaming defense. Just remember, in their 4 previous games before last week, they averaged 34 points a game, giving up 1 touchdown and 1 interception total over the last 4 games before that. So beware about Philly. They had a great game last week, and I know they might be the sexy pick this week if you're a streaming defense guy, but not for me. Buffalo's offense is kind of clicking, and Philly's just a horrible defense. I think that was just a total fluke last week, so beware about Philly against Buffalo this week.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. Like you said, 45 points, 90 points given up the 2 prior weeks. And like you said, Tyrod Taylor, not a guy who turns the football over. Shady McCoy coming back to town motivated. Bills have a lot to play for. I'm with you. I'd find another defense besides Philadelphia this week. Greg, great job this week. I certainly expect for a lot of these picks to pan out, but that is the beauty of the NFL. Uncertainty, you never know what's going to happen week in and week out, but the advice was much appreciated. Greg, before we let you go, let fantasy owners know where they can find you online, social media, so they can chop it up with you more.
You got it, Lance. You can find me on Facebook.com/GreatLaFortune or on Twitter at FFB Start or Sit. Hit me up. I'm always around. I'll answer your questions. Even if you want to just talk fantasy, I'm there too. So give me a ring.
All right. Sounds great. Well, Greg, enjoy the game. Best of luck to you in your playoff matchups this week. And we'll be looking forward to having you back on the show next Thursday.
Thanks, Lance. It's a must win this week. And I had Ingram, so I did have Spiller, but I wasn't near a computer quick enough to get Hightower. So I think I'm going to roll the dice with Spiller this week. I need some luck there. So.
All right, we'll see how it pans out. And just a real quick note on that, happy you brought that up. I mean, the early indications are that, you know, Spiller is basically going to be Kyrie Robinson, the guy, third down, catching out of the backfield, the screens, the draws. Hightower will be the early down work guy, kind of leading the rushing attack, getting the goal line carries. And, you know, I think we've seen this year the guy who is in that, you know, who is the third down back, who is on passing formations. We know the Saints like to pass a ton. We mentioned how tough the Bucs run defense is. I think for this week, Spiller is a guy who has a little more potential. I'm not sure if he's going to be also handling punt or kickoff duties, but he is a threat there, and that could possibly be some points too. So I think that you're okay. I think him and Hightower's production may not be too far off. All right, look, we're going to run to a quick break. I've got about maybe eight minutes left in the show. We come back, we'll run it down. It'll be the final extra points that you need to get you ready, and then it's time for Thursday Night Football. Got Arizona and Minnesota. Hoping this can be a good one. You know, this one has Arizona written all over it, but hopefully the Vikings, I'm pretty confident they'll put up a better effort than they did last week. And so don't go anywhere. Extra points, we'll be right back. All right, fantasy football owners, welcome back to the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show. Once again, thank Greg LaFortune, doing a great job all year long handling our top starts and sits. And shout out our guy, Mr. Fantasy Guy himself, James Morris from NFL.com Fantasy Football, for joining us as well. Let's quickly run through. You guys know that you catch me on the Firehouse as well. I'm over on Blaze One Radio every Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. over there. I get more in depth just talking pure NFL football, not solely fantasy. So I really break down these games, but New Orleans, Tampa Bay, real quick. Look, Jameis Winston, Mike Evans, Doug Martin, Vincent Jackson, everybody's a strong start against New Orleans. New Orleans, I think Brandon Cooks has proven to be the guy who's going to get the targets. Outside of that, you don't know what to expect from New Orleans, especially a team that struggles on the road. Lovie Smith seems to have Drew Brees' number, so temper expectations there. Tennessee and the Jets, this one is all about the Jets. You love Fitzpatrick. You love Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall. Titans just got hit up for 5 TD passes last week, so you have to like the matchup. Brandon Marshall, a very similar tight receiver as Allen Robinson with his big stature, his ability to just jump over and through receivers to make plays happen. For Tennessee, Greg told you Delaney Walker, a guy, as long as he continues to get the targets, he'll do some positive things for you as well. Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, you start all your studs with confidence. No need to sit anyone out there, although we're going to be watching to see if it's a defensive battle, how it was the last time these two teams played. Indianapolis and Jacksonville, you start Bortles and company with confidence. Indianapolis, again, really banged up. I'm a little worried about the score, because I think if Indianapolis wins this game, I think it's going to be around 20-17. But they're a team that's desperately needing a win. Frank Gore is a guy who's going to get the guaranteed touches. Hilton and Moncrief are huge risks. San Diego, Kansas City, if we're going trends and patterns, you stay away from Phillip Rivers and company this week for Kansas City. You certainly like Alex Smith. I like Jeremy Maclin a little bit more than Greg. Travis Kelce is a strong start. Be interesting to see how that committee continues to work out between West and Spencer Ware. Washington and Chicago, love Matt Forte this week. I hate to say it because I play against him, but he got back on track. He's an all-around monster. Seems like he's back starting. I certainly hope to see more of Jeremy Langford this week. I think this is a beautiful matchup for Matt Forte. Just be leery. Redskins, our team, ranked in the top 10 against the run. Guys like Big Terrence Knighton and Jason Hatcher and Chris Baker in the trenches. So that certainly has been a pattern that's holding true. Alshon Jeffrey is a guy you expect, which is not bad, but the TD wasn't there to put the icing on the cake. Atlanta and Carolina, Cam Newton, Greg Olsen, Jonathan Stewart. You're not quite sure which wide receiver will get it going for Carolina. We know that Ted Ginn is a deep threat, but he has the drop tees. A lot of balls to go around there. We see Mike Tolbert catch a touchdown last week. Jericho Cotri, he remains to be a guy heavily used in the offensive. Then you got Devin Funchess, so hard to call. But certainly Olsen, Newton, and Stewart are your staples there for Atlanta. Can't afford to sit Julio Jones. Can't afford to sit Devonta Freeman. But you certainly want to taper expectation. Division rivals, Carolina has had Atlanta's number the last couple years. Seattle at Baltimore, this is all about Seattle. Russell Wilson, one of the hottest quarterbacks in fantasy right now. You're starting him with confidence. Doug Baldwin, he's elevated himself to be the number one receiver for Seattle, so you like that connection. Also, Thomas Rawls. Baltimore's run defense, very tough, but if given the opportunity, like we've seen last week with Miami, getting the ball time and time again, Lamar Miller was able to find 112 yards on 26 carries. Certainly, Rawls should have some short yardage TDs in the cards potentially for him. Oakland at Denver, I can't say it's all about Denver. You know, I don't really know what to expect from Brock Osweiler. Was very solid in his first start against Chicago. Played a very good game at home against New England. I don't know why. How can I, you know, you go from that to struggling at San Diego, can only put up one TD pass, one interception. So, you know, he's still young. He's still figuring things out. And the Oakland Raiders defense isn't to be slept on. I think they're going to give him a little trouble. I'm concerned. One of the headlines on Trends and Patterns, if you go to the fantasy football page, is that the Bronco wide receivers, Sanders and Demaryius Thomas, they're a huge risk. They do not get off in the same week. It's going to be one or the other. So you got to be very careful. C.J. Anderson could miss this game. Ronnie Hillman had a foot injury. Keep tabs on him. Hopefully he's fully healthy. They're just being precautionary so he can get the full workload. Juwan Thompson might be a sleeper if C.J. Anderson doesn't go. Green Bay at Dallas. I think you got to play your guys, temper expectation. Aaron Rodgers, I play him as well. Hopefully he can kind of continue trending down. But I think based on trends and patterns, Green Bay gets a huge win at home over a very sus Dallas offense. Darren McFadden is a guy I think he can play with some type of confidence. Green Bay giving up a 111 on the ground. But if the game gets out of hand, at least you know he's still involved. Matt Castle likes to check you down a lot. New England and Houston, I think this one is all about New England. Tom Brady is proven to be bulletproof. James White getting more involved. Danny Amendola is a guy who can work the slot. Certainly, though, your lower expectations there for Houston. DeAndre Hopkins is always a must start. For the Giants in Miami, ODB, Jarvis Landry, and Devonta Parker, Lamar Miller are all the guys you want to start. Hey, we're just out of here at time. Please check the NFL Exporter website, the fantasy football page. Best of luck to everybody in their Week 14 matchups. I am the NFL Exporter signing out of here, 1100.